This is Talk is Cheap on KBW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peace Works Independent Community Radio. Okay, it was Earth Day this weekend, so I spent that time waiting for the Freedom Flotilla to be let out of the port in Istanbul, Turkey. So I came in the middle of the night. Our time was 6 o'clock Istanbul time, trying to get an interview with Anne Wright. But, you know, they're very busy there, and they're trying to get launched and get needed supplies to Gaza, if you don't know about the Freedom Flotilla. So you're going to, but you'll hear more about that because I took a bunch of stuff off the web on the Freedom Flotilla because it's very important. The students have, in several states now, have walked out and protested their local universities to insist that the U.S. government support the Palestinians and get aid into Gaza and stop the genocide of what they're calling a genocide and what I'm calling a genocide in Israel. A little disclaimer, if you listen to this show, Israel is a product of U.S. foreign economic policy and nothing against Jewish people at all, but the Likud party, as with any issue, it's not everyone, it's just certain people that don't understand the issue and are a little too greedy, is usually the problem. So, but also on Earth Day, we had the BNF Kombucha Open Minds Menagerie presents Billion New Finds. It was a barter fair out at on Prairie Road here in Eugene, out at the BNF Kombucha, sponsored it nicely, where for a day of community dance and bartering, bring a basket of goodies. I can tell you, I should have known that polyester sweatpants, hot hands, and an old Amiga computer book was not something that you bring to barter with. I would have been better off with a shiny rock to barter with. You want to bring things to the barter fair. You don't want to just bring junk that you're trying to get rid of to the barter fair. In fact, I saw somebody trading pot. Was the popular currency at the barter fair out there at BNF Kombucha. So I interviewed one of the vendors there. Very nicely spoke to me, Amber from Divine Lotus Designs. Talks about why it's so important that we recycle and get off the petrodollar, especially during Earth Day. So you'll hear about that. Like I say, some stuff on the Freedom Flotilla, the report from the student protests here in Eugene. They need your support. A lot of people have gotten arrested and gotten their cars impounded. So thank you for the students for doing that. You have the most to gain and the least to lose, as I've always said in protests. So that's coming up on Talk is Cheap, KPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peace Works, Independent Community Radio. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends.
So I'm recording this update from Friday evening. Anthony Blinken is talking to the Chinese, and he's saying that the student protests have a right to protest in the United States, where, of course, they don't have that right in China, even though the State Department has allowed China to have most favored nation status. He didn't say that. So this is about this is the latest on the Freedom Flotilla from, this is from Anne Wright, Colonel Anne Wright of the Freedom Flotilla on Common Dreams. The Freedom Flotilla is ready to sail. All the required paperwork has been submitted to the Port Authority and the cargo has been loaded and prepared for the trip to Gaza. However, today, which is the 26th, we received word of an administrative roadblock initiated by Israel in an attempt to prevent our departure. Israel is pressuring the Republic of Guinea-Bissau to withdraw its flag from our lead ship, the Actanis. This triggered a request for an additional inspection, this one by the flag state that delays our April 26th planned departure. This is another example of Israel obstructing the delivery of life-saving aid to the people in Gaza who face a deliberately created famine. How many more children will die of malnutrition and dehydration because of this delay and an ongoing siege which must be broken? This is not the first time that Israel has used these tactics to stop our ships from sailing. We've overcome them before and are diligently working to overcome this latest attempt. Our vessels have already passed all the required inspections, and we are confident that the Actonese will pass this inspection, provided there is no political interference. We expect this to be no more than a few days' delay. Israel will not break our resolve to reach the Palestinians of Gaza.
This report back was shared with us from the A-15 action in Eugene in solidarity with economic blockades around the world to stop the genocide in Gaza. On the morning of Monday, April 15th, community members in Eugene, Oregon, blockaded Interstate 5 in solidarity with an international call to action to shut down economic trade for Palestine. The goal of this global solidarity effort was to shut down the economy that funds the ongoing occupation and genocide in Palestine. In response to this expression of their First Amendment right, six state agencies, EPD, OPD, SPD, Lane County Sheriffs, and the SWAT team included, showed up with over 127 officers equipped in riot gear with munitions and chemical weapons on display. At various points, pepperball guns were aimed within lethal distance at people's bodies. 62 arrests were made, and the protesters were kept overnight, some for over 30 hours, for this call to end a genocide that has already martyred over 30,000 Palestinians. While all prisoners everywhere are subjected to dehumanizing treatment, we highlight that several trans and gender non-conforming folks were kept in solitary confinement without being presented options, and at least two arrests were denied access to medications that were on their person with prescription notes at the time of the arrest. The escalation and severity of this response by the police towards a group of protesters is indicative of a trajectory that should alarm all of us. Every protester that was arrested has been charged with disorderly conduct in the second degree, further underscoring the desperation of the state to maintain control. While outrageous that 62 citizens that chose to rebel against this country's complicity with genocide were punished with jail and collective charges, this doesn't compare to what each and every Palestinian is subjected to every day. Our 24 to 32 hours in jail pales next to what political prisoners all around the prison world experience. For those of us for whom this was the first experience in a cage, we reaffirm our commitment to the struggle for freedom for Palestinian prisoners and prisoners everywhere against the police and prisons, against the occupation, against American imperialism, against capitalism, for a better world, the slight chance for which we will not fail to seize. Over 9,500 Palestinians have been imprisoned since October 7th, including 275 women, 520 children, 66 journalists, and 5,168 orders of administrative detention without charges or trial, and at least 16 Palestinian prisoners tortured to death. The people of Eugene unite with the people of the world in this clear demand. We want Palestine to live, and we want Palestine to be free. For KPW News, I'm DJ Susti.
The Enchanted Mushroom Festival will be in Los Angeles Memorial Day weekend, May 24th through May 26th, to promote conscious healing, community integrative health. The Enchanted Mushroom Festival features wellness education panels, speakers, a trade and tech show, immersive story experience, holographic AI, AR technologies, film, music, and art in the heart of Hollywood, California. For more information on the Enchanted Mushroom Festival Memorial Day weekend, go to www.emf.la. That's www.emf.la. So I'm here at the Eugene Barter Fair, and I'm talking to one of the vendors here. Why are you at the Eugene Barter Fair?
Because I value community and like sharing resources. So we have enough stuff and we kind of just need to circulate it around.
And it's better to make your own stuff and use and repair what we already have rather than using slave labor to make new things in the third world and things like that.
So I would say yes, if we can keep things local, that's always better. And to repair things instead of buying something new.
And how long have you been doing this?
13 years.
But you come to events like this?
So the name of my business is Divine Lotus Designs, and so I do mostly recycled clothing and art.
Wow. So do you have a brick and mortar shop, or you work out of your house, or?
Since the pandemic, I have moved to working from home, but I used to have a shop downtown.
And do you mind if I ask, how successful are you? Does it keep you out of the system? I mean, do you have a regular job? Are you a real person too?
So I like to think of this piece as like shifting more to be for the creative process of making art instead of it needing to like make money.
Right.
So yes, I do sell things and am successful, and also it's more about sharing art with the world and seeing people wearing my designs or making their own designs.
So you're supporting yourself doing what you love?
Yes.
And what other people love?
Absolutely.
All right, anything else you want to say?
I really think that people just like need to empower themselves to just make art, you know, so you don't have to sell it, but to just do it for the therapeutic process of creating.
Yeah, do you remember Sisyphine had the candy store, you know, she used to do a junk art store. Do you know about bricolage and all that?
I know that term, but I don't know this person in particular. But basically the idea, right, the concept that anything can get turned into art, and it's like kind of how we look at it and how we use the things around us.
Neat. So what else, how can people get a hold of you, or how can people support you?
So I'm on Instagram at Divine Lotus Designs is the best way to find me. And then at events like this.
All right, and anything about Earth Day? Why is Earth Day so important right now?
Well, as a clothing designer, right, it's a conversation that I have in particular, like with myself as someone who like likes clothes, and also as someone that like cares about the world, right? So I think we could stop making clothing and we would be fine for at least a little while, right? So the impact that we're having on the earth is really important. So I like to ask the question, like, where is a way, right? So we say, like, throw it away, give it away. Like, where is a way? And there really isn't.
And we don't need factories making clothing, really.
No.
All right, thanks for your time. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
All right, on this week's Project Censored show, host Eleanor Goldfield interviewed Anne Wright, a participant in the Freedom Flotilla, which many times over the years has tried to get aid to Gaza. They'll try once again this month.
Thanks, y'all, for joining us at the Project Censored show. We're very glad to be joined by Anne Wright, who served 29 years in the U.S. Army, Army Reserves, and retired as a colonel. She was a U.S. diplomat for 16 years and resigned from the U.S. government 21 years ago in opposition to Bush's war in Iraq. She has been on 5 flotillas to Gaza, and she is the co-author of Dissent, Voices of Conscience. Anne, thanks so much for coming back on the show.
It's a pleasure, Eleanor. Thank you so much for the invitation.
Absolutely. So as was put out on freedomflotilla.org in a press release, the International Freedom Flotilla Coalition will sail in mid-April with multiple vessels carrying 5,500 tons of humanitarian aid and hundreds of international human rights observers to challenge the ongoing illegal Israeli blockade of the Gaza Strip, end quote. Now, and to ask the obvious question that folks might be wondering, aid has been blocked both by land and sea for months now. How do you intend to get around this blockade?
Well, we shall go to the exclusion zone that the Israeli military has set up that can extend out to 100 nautical miles. We've been there before. As you mentioned, I've been on several flotillas before. We've been stopped. We've been boarded. Tragically, people have been killed by the Israelis on these flotillas. In 2010, they executed point blank range 10 people that were on the Marvi Marmara and wounded 50 of them. So we certainly know what the danger is. And this particular flotilla going during a time that the Israelis are committing a genocide in Gaza, where they have killed hundreds of aid workers, and the 7 that were killed with the World Central Kitchen were just the last numbers of them, of course, being internationals and not Palestinians. It got a lot of press because our press is racist, our policies are racist, and what is being done to the Palestinians in Gaza and the West Bank is a racist genocide that's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I understand you will have human rights observers on board. Do you have any kind of government backing or any kind of more official backing that might dissuade some of that direct violence that you were talking about?
Well, we do not have government approval of any of this. In fact, I am sure that within days, the United States government will issue a travel advisory and specifically do not get on a flotilla because of the danger. Yeah, the danger from America's strongest ally, Israel, is going to go kill again internationals that are just trying to say to the world this illegal blockade that Israel has had on Gaza, this illegal naval blockade that's been going on for decades, really, it needs to end. And my government supports it. They support every criminal, illegal act that Israel has done. And so we expect the U.S. government to say, you shouldn't go. And the U.S. naval vessels that are out there that have helped Israel in its naval blockade, now with a U.K. ship that's coming in, we certainly do anticipate that we will have confrontations with governments that are doing nothing to stop the genocide. And as human rights observers, knowing full well the danger of this, we say when the governments won't act, then citizens must take some action. And we're also frustrated with what is going on. I mean, frustrated is the mild word. We're horrified that 6 months the Israelis have been able to kill as many Palestinians as they want to. It is a genocide in Gaza, and we just will not stand by any longer and take no action. I mean, people all over the world are taking action. It's not to minimize at all what we all have been doing for 6 months, but it hasn't worked. It hasn't worked. And so this is one more step in trying to somehow generate enough international governmental action. And there are actions these governments can take. They don't have to just sit there with their thumbs up their butts doing nothing. I mean, they can sever diplomatic ties with Israel, for God's sakes. They can put an economic blockade on Israel. There's a lot of stuff that governments could do if they just had the will to do it. But these politicians are, you know, a bunch of chickens. And that's why we want a lot of U.S. citizens on this flotilla that say to our own government, you know, all of you in the Biden administration ought to be hauled before the International Criminal Court as war criminals, because you are enabling the genocide of Gaza.
Yeah, absolutely. And Anne, you mentioned U.S. citizens on the boat. Can you talk about a little bit of the blend of people? Is it predominantly U.S. citizens? Is it predominantly people that work as peace activists or are in that world? Could you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. We think we will have 35 countries or more that are going to be represented on this. It is an international flotilla. And we have people from the United States, from Canada, from all over Europe. We have them from Southeast Asia. Malaysia will have a very large contingent. We'll have doctors, nurses, we'll have activists, we'll have a wide range of people who are all just so perplexed about why the governments of the world are letting this go on. The country of Turkey will have a large number of people on because that's where we are organizing at and out of. And we are so proud of every single person that has made an application to go. Some of the applicants have had to withdraw their applications because rightfully and expectedly, family pressures come to play. I mean, when people apply, they usually don't tell their families what they're doing. And then when they go back to the families to say, well, I'm going to be on this flotilla. Well, let me just tell you, as you can imagine, there are husbands, wives, daughters, sons that are going, oh, come on, you just can't do this. You can't, because the potential for danger is so great. And so some of them have had to withdraw their applications, which we certainly understand. And there's no harm done. Nobody thinks less of them for having to do this, because it is a dangerous proposition. And we want to make sure that everyone that finally goes on these boats are well committed, knows fully the dangers, and are comfortable with taking the risks that this mission will require.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm curious, too, you mentioned doctors and nurses. So is the hope that you will get to the shore and then also be able to not just deliver aid in the form of physical things, but also expertise?
Well, it's great to have all these doctors and nurses and medical people that will be on this boat, but the primary mission is not to deliver them to Gaza to continue long-term work there. They know the process for signing on to international medical teams that have been going in, but they wanted to be on this boat to do a short trip, to be there to actually assist us should there be violence that results in injuries for people on the boats. If we get in there, of course, they will go ashore, but they will not be staying for any length of time. It's more to observe what's going on and a picture of this moment, and then they can decide whether they want to go through the established routine to make sure that you're on a delegation that has the right equipment, has all the necessary things to actually really help someone.
Yeah, absolutely. And for those who are unaware of the dynamics by land and by sea, could you also talk about why a flotilla? Why come by the Mediterranean Sea as opposed to trying to come via land?
Well, a good question. But the answer is that that's been tried for 6 months. And the Israelis control the entry of all of the trucks, big trucks, hundreds of trucks that have been lined up in Egypt and in Jordan. And they're at the mercy of whether the Israeli criminal government, genocide government, will let one or two or three trucks in a day when they normally need 500 trucks loads of food and medical supplies to keep the population of 2.3 million people alive. So we see that the land convoys of trucks are at the mercy of the Israelis. And we decided that we would try it by sea and without the permission of the Israeli government. We are not asking for their permission, and we shouldn't have to. As citizens of the world, we are challenging the occupation and the Israeli government and all of those enablers, including the U.S. government.
You're listening to the Project Censored Radio Show. I'm your host this week, Eleanor Goldfield. We now continue our conversation with a retired Army colonel, an anti-war activist, Anne Wright.
Absolutely. And I'm curious if you know of any kind of legal precedent, whether that be with the UN World Court or anything like that, with regards to delivering aid during a genocide or during any kind of instance of war crimes. Do you have any kind of legal backing? Like if the Israeli forces board your boat, what is the plan? Do you hand them some kind of information like this is what we're doing? We have, you know, article so-and-so says that we're allowed to do this. Like what is the plan there?
Well, the International Court of Justice just issued an opinion last week that said every government, every person should do what they could to stop the genocide, to stop the starving of people. So there you have it. It's telling us as citizens of the world that we have the right to do what we can to try to stop this. Of course, you know, it doesn't really matter what we do because the Israeli government does what it wants to. And with impunity. I mean, nobody ever holds the state of Israel accountable for all of its actions. So we're not relying really on any sort of legal mechanism that will suddenly open the doors to be able to go into Gaza. We anticipate that we will be stopped, but it's going to be interesting this time, whether it will be stopped by the Israeli commandos or whether they will enlist the aid of their great ally, the United States, that has ships there, and the British. Tell the British or the U.S., you go stop this flotilla because we've got our hands full killing Palestinians in Gaza.
Wow. Well, if that were to happen, would you pull rank?
Yeah. Hell yeah. I'll get right up there in the bow of the ship. I'm an army colonel and you guys get away from us. And then I'm going to duck when the bullets start flying at me. No, we'll be broadcasting from the ships. We will be trying to enlist the aid of countries that are not going along with this genocide, like South Africa filing the case in the International Court of Justice and the many, many countries that have voted for ceasefires in Gaza at the UN Security Council. There are a lot of countries that I think are just, for whatever reason, they're holding back. And, you know, they could break relations with Israel. They could say, we are not going to allow any goods that are produced in our country to go to Israel because they're conducting this genocide. So maybe this idea of this unarmed civilian group of ships that are going because their countries won't go, or our country, the United States, will put all of these military vessels out there and then not even bring in a hospital ship to help those that have been severely wounded. And they're going to take 60 to 90 days to get five ships from the east coast of the United States to take these little pontoon bridge docks over to Gaza. It's just the most ludicrous thing. Plus, dropping by parachute into the ocean, all of these meals ready to eat that the military eats, and it's not good stuff. But they're dropping them in the ocean, and then the Palestinians swim out, and many of them have drowned. When the parachute system of the United States is so accurate that they can put a beacon, the normal way that you do it, if you want pallets to land in a certain place, you put a beacon, which is a guided rocket, really, coming out of the plane. You guide that rocket down to the place that you want the landing zone of all the pallets to go into. And the pallets have a device on them that they can kind of hone in on this system. So these things don't have to go in the ocean. They can go into a vacant area on the beach of Gaza. You know, it just is so ludicrous what they're trying to do and saying, oh, look, we're airlifting. Well, for God's sakes, what a great ally you have when you can't even get the ally to allow food in, and you're having to airdrop, coordinate with them to have your airplanes not get shot out of the air by your greatest ally. And these planes fly around and then drop this stuff and it goes into the ocean. I mean, it's one of the stupidest things in the world. And when after action reports are done by the U.S. military, they're really good about doing after action reports, but then nobody reads them. But this one is going to be quite an after action report on the successes and failures of the United States. Everything from the political will or lack of it to stop the genocide, to tell the Israelis, we will not give you one more bullet, not one more bomb. This has got to stop, and to break relations with them. But of course, between the AIPAC money that flows into the Congress and into the executive department, it's a pitiful, pitiful chapter in the history of the United States.
Yeah, absolutely. And the press release says you're leaving in mid-April, and you mentioned from Turkey. About when do you think that you will get to that barrier? You mentioned roughly 100 nautical miles. When do you think you'll reach that?
Well, we're not giving out real specifics, as you can imagine, you know, trying to have security on this thing and with the Israelis all over us. I mean, we've had ships that have been sabotaged before. The Israeli government has paid off countries not to let us sail from their countries, like Greece and Cyprus will not let us go from their countries. We had 10 ships in 2011 that were leaving from Greece until the Greek government got a big payoff from Israel, and they refused to let our boats go, coming up with all sorts of crazy, oh, your boat's not, it doesn't have this on it, it doesn't have that on it. So finally, in 2011, we got so fed up with it that we got all of our passengers, I think we had like 55 U.S. citizens on the U.S. boat to Gaza, which we named the Audacity of Hope because Barack Obama was the president. So we said the Audacity of Hope. So the Greek commandos got their boats and we took off, and about 4 miles outside of Piraeus, you know, the main port of Athens, here came this Navy boat with commandos on it and pulled right in front of our ship, forcing it to stop. And the commandos with their weapons pointed at us. You have to stop. You have to return to the dock. You're under arrest. So we got out our bullhorns and started talking to them. We have every right to leave this port. You can't stop us. Da, 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 da. Well, to the credit of the captain of that boat, he listened. He did not have the commando shoot. They did not board the boat. We sat there in a bit of a standoff for, it was a good 2.5-3 hours. And every person on our boat got on the bullhorn and told him who they were, why they were on the boat, why it was important for our boat to go to Gaza. So we have a recording of all of that. And we put it up on what social media we had back in those days. You know, in 2011, it wasn't like it is now where you can just instantly let the world know what's going on. But we did have a New York Times reporter on board. We had Democracy Now! On board. So we ended up getting, after this happened, the pretty good record of it. Bottom line was, at the end of 2.5 hours, the captain of the Greek boat, who I think was a little bit sympathetic with us, said, Has everyone had a chance to speak? I want to make sure that everyone has a chance to speak. And now I must speak to your captain. Captain, we need for you, this is a direct order. You must return your boat to so-and-so pier. So at that point, we as organizers, when faced with weapons, we did not want to have anybody injured. And so we agreed with the captain, because he was the captain of the boat and he's the one that makes the ultimate decision. He said it is time for us to turn around and go to where they are telling us, which we did. And then once we got there, we took out all of our banners, our signs, so everybody in the port knew what had happened. The captain actually got arrested for 2 days and was in jail. John was a very good captain. He took it with great grace. But so there are a few ports that we can actually sail from because of the extreme leverage that Israel puts on other countries with the paying off national debts. I mean, they can come up with a lot of money to pay to Cyprus and to pay to Greece. And this was back during the big financial crisis in 2011. So the Greeks were trying to get money from anyone. So that's a little history of what we've been dealing with.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad that you brought up the history, because it also just once again proves that nothing started on October 7th. And I'm curious, with the flotillas that have happened in the past, have any of them made it past the Israeli blockade?
Well, the very first boats, and this all started back in 2008 when a group called the Free Gaza Movement got several small little boats in Greece and filled them with like 25, 30 folks from, you know, pretty well all over the world, and set sail to Gaza, never really thinking they would actually make it. And for some reason, they did. The Israeli Navy did not stop them, and they ended up making 5 trips into Gaza, the first time in 40 years that international boats had gone in to Gaza City. But then at the end of 2008, the Israelis started what was called Operation Cast Lead, which was a 27-day attack on Gaza that left 1,400 Palestinians dead. And as that military operation started, then they did not allow any more boats in. In fact, they rammed several boats, one of them almost sinking and had to limp into Lebanon. And that had a CNN reporter on it, and also a Nobel Peace Laureate, Marie McGuire, and former U.S. Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney. So there's a big record of that one. Since 2008, the Israeli Navy has forcefully stopped every flotilla and boat that has tried to break the blockade.
It is clearly a dangerous mission that you all embark upon. And of course, we wish you all the luck and hope that we can hear back from you safely once you've successfully completed it. And where can folks follow this mission as it happens?
Well, there are 2 websites. One that we have is our national U.S. campaign called usboatstogaza.org. And then the overall international website is freedomflotilla.org.
All right. Well, Anne, thank you again. And now I leave you to do another mission, which is going into Congress and screaming at the faces of those perpetuating genocide. So best of luck with that, too. And thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you very much, Eleanor. And keep Palestine and Gaza in everybody's hearts and minds. Thank you.
Absolutely. And in our actions as well. Thank you, Anne.
Indeed. Thanks. We want to smash, crash, smash. The system, we wanna get it hype, get it live, get with the mission, we run the crowd loud.
Thanks so much for listening. That does it for this week's show. I'm Eleanor Goldfield, and along with Mickey Huff, we are your Project Censored Radio hosts. The Project Censored Radio show airs on roughly 50 stations across the U.S. Please follow us on social media and check out projectcensored.org for more rad content. And if you enjoy the show, please consider becoming a patron of our work over at patreon.com/projectcensored. Thanks so much. See you next time on the Project Censored Radio show. We're not commodities or cogs that turn the global economy. We're the promise of a legacy, a spirit we're honoring. An anomaly to those who can't imagine a world without oppressive forces slaving for almighty dollar bills. We won. We got the love of the thought brothers and our sisters.
activists from over 12 countries, including the US, UK, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Germany, Malaysia, Palestine, Norway, Argentina, Spain, and South Africa, will participate in the Freedom Flotilla, intended to get humanitarian aid to the refugees of Israel's October 7th war on Hamas and break Israel's 2008 blockade of the Gaza Strip from the Mediterranean Sea.
We are here on a very important mission on behalf of the citizens of the world. We want to introduce to you the representatives of the Freedom Flotilla Coalition that have been planning this for the last 6 months. And then we will ask all of the representatives of the many, many countries that are participating in this flotilla and have brought hundreds of international human rights observers who intend to go to Gaza to help document the genocide that the Israeli government is doing now. My name is Anne Wright, and I am a retired U.S. Army colonel, a former U.S. diplomat, resigning in 2003 in opposition to the war in Iraq. I'm part of the U.S. Boats to Gaza and the steering committee of the Freedom Flotilla Coalition. We will now introduce other members of the steering committee of the coalition.
Step up
so they can see you.
My name is Zohar. I'm a member of the steering committee of the Freedom Flotilla Coalition. I am an Israeli citizen and I live in Germany.
I am Fauzia Mohamed Hassan. I came from Malaysia and my campaign is Humanitarian Care Malaysia.
My name is Asun. I'm from the Spanish campaign and Rumbarata.
I am Zahir Birawi. I am a Palestinian living in the UK, and I am the chairman of the International Committee for Breaking the Siege on Gaza.
My name is Hoyda Arnaf. I'm a Palestinian-American human rights attorney, and I am from the U.S. delegation, U.S. Boats to Gaza.
So these are the men and women who have been working so diligently over the last 6 months to put this flotilla together. As you well know, this is not the first flotilla. We remember back to 2010 with the Marvi Marmara and seven other ships that sailed in 2010. Five ships sailing before that in 2008 that actually got into Gaza. And then subsequently from 2010, we've had over 35 boats that have sailed to end the illegal Israeli naval blockade of Gaza. We have representatives from over 30 countries that will be on this flotilla, and we have representatives of those campaigns. So I would like to have each one of them to come to say their name, to say where they're from, their occupation.
My name is Carlos Trota. I am a physician from Argentina.
My name is John Herson. I'm a truck driver from Ireland.
I am Aniba Bayat from South Africa. I'm a human rights activist for women and children.
Marhaba. My name is Heba Zakaria. I am Egyptian-Turkish journalist and from the International Committee for Breaking the Siege of Gaza.
Thank you all for coming this morning. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh and a very good morning. Hours ago, many of our news, CNN and ABC, has reported that Israel has attacked Iran. The Freedom Flotilla Coalition stands here to remind the world that with all the escalation between Israel and Iran, the killing is continuing and occurring in Gaza right now. While those countries, the two countries, go back and forth, we cannot let Israel's attempt to distract the world from what is causing more death, more disease, more distraction, and attempt to distract the world from what is causing more death, more disease, more destruction. And Israel's policy of starvation and continued bombardment of unarmed Palestinians in Gaza, mostly women and children.
Thank you. We are grateful to be able to meet here in Istanbul to show a broad international engagement from civil societies all over the world. That after 6 months, it's time to act. We demand that the government, which has any kind of influence in this matter, fulfill their obligations to call for a ceasefire, stop the genocide, and help the humanitarian aid in full scale to enter Gaza.
These people who I am honored to stand with represent hundreds who will sail, who in turn represent millions across the world who have been taking to the streets for over 6 months, demanding that our governments take action to stop Israel's slaughter of the Palestinian people. We are outraged that our governments have thus far done nothing, and even more, have been enabling, collaborating with Israel to destroy and ethnically cleanse Gaza.
Medea Benjamin of Code Pink announced Thursday she would join the initial flotilla comprised of three ships, two of which will hold over 5,000 tons of relief supplies. The third will carry thousands of unarmed humanitarian aid workers, press members, and people of conscience who intend to put the genocide in Gaza firmly on the agenda.
So we're getting ready to go on a trip to Turkey, where we're going to be boarding a boat as part of a Freedom Flotilla to go to Gaza. One of our ships has about 5,500 tons of food and medicine desperately needed in Gaza, and the other one will have hundreds of us on board coming from 30 different countries. And here are a couple of people going. John, you want to say who you are and where you're going?
John Brewer with World Beyond War. I live here in the Maryland area near D.C. And I've done absolutely everything else I can to try to mitigate this misery and violence in Gaza. I've talked to Congress people. I've been in demonstrations big and small. I've talked to the president. Everything I can do, and nothing is mitigating it enough yet. So this is the next step. Citizens have to rise up and stop the crazy violence that all our governments do.
Tyke Berry, Code Pink, Free Free Palestine. Just want to say really glad to join these lovely people today and all the work that they do. It's an honor to be here, and I think it's time that we all took a stand and took action, you know, small or big. I think it's time that we show the people of Gaza that we do care, and that people out there are coming to help.
So anyway, we are here to say we want peace in the world, and we wanted to start with ending the U.S. government support for this massacre in Gaza, and that's why we as Americans think it's really important.
The project is spearheaded by the Turkish IHH, Humanitarian Relief Organization. The flotilla is currently being delayed in Istanbul, Turkey, but plans to set sail soon. For KPW News, I'm DJ Susti.
Sing it.
There's a scourge threatening the airwaves right now. I'm talking about that earworm wrangler and rhyme criminal, Justin Bieber. I don't care if he gets his coke from Colombia, his product from Pennsylvania. He should be arrested just for rhyming holy with hold me. His music is vapid. His lyrics are trite. Now don't kill Justin Bieber. Cutting his hair will only slow him down. If you want to stop Justin Bieber and others like him, go to kepw.org and become a sustaining member, or just send a couple of dollars. We're all volunteers, so you get more bang for your buck. Go to kepw.org and stop inane music today.
Thank you. This next one is a killer. It's about a gang leader ends up doing a menial job as a bellop. And the bellop is played by Mr. Keith Moon. How horrible.
Thank you, thank you. That's fine, thank you.
We've won the Leaping Toe Award.
No, that's fine, thank you. Plenty.
Mooney's song, Bellboy. Go! A beach is a place where a man can feel he's the only soul in the world that's real. When I see a face come through the haze, I remember him from those crazy days. The guy who used to set the faces, lighting up in front of a hundred faces. I don't suppose you would remember me, but I used to follow you back in 63. Job, but I'm newly born. You should see me dressed up in my uniform. I work in a hotel, all gilt and flash. Remember Montreal, where the hotel we smashed?
Bellboy,
I've got to get running now.
Bellboy,
keep my lip buttoned down.
Bellboy,
carry the bloody baggage out.
Bellboy,
always running at someone's heels. Know how I feel. Always running at someone's head. Some nights I still sleep on the beach, remembering when stars were in reach. Wandering early to work, spend my day licking boots from my pants. A beach is a place where a man can feel he's the only soul in the world that's real. Coming through.
said, I don't suppose you would remember me, but I used to follow you back in 63. Change and when I look in your eyes, we could learn a lot from a life like mine. The secret to me, it ain't flown like a flag. I wear it behind this little badge. What's it?
Bellboy.
I've got to get running now.
Bellboy.
Keep my lip buttoned down.
Bellboy.
Carry the bloody baggies out.
Bellboy.
Always running at someone. You know how I feel. Always running at someone's
Keith Moon deserves a lot less than that. I tell you a new way to clap. For Keith Moon, you clap like this.